Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the 4th and Goal podcast, WVUA 90.7, the Capstones podcast for all things college football. Today we have our upset-filled recap of Week 10, some of our Week 11 predictions, and some New Year's Six Bowl predictions for this season. Now, you might think, as Alabama fans and a Cal fan with Braden, that we might kind of just die down for the season, but actually I feel like there's a sense of relief almost for Alabama fans because it's now we can just enjoy the rest of this great college football season and kind of root for some chaos. Nick, can you get with me on that?
Like, I can. It was 60 minutes of misery watching Alabama.
Exactly. So now we can just root for the craziest thing to happen and just some enjoy the good college football without the stress, kind
of. I think it was 60 minutes of misery for four games this year.
Yeah.
Four games.
Yeah, rough time. So we'll go ahead and hop into that, actually. That'll be the first game we cover today. Alabama losing to LSU in overtime, heartbreaking fashion, knocks Alabama out of the playoff race, kind of. I mean, there's still a mathematical chance they get in, but it's next to nothing. What's the likelihood that LSU sneaks into the playoff, though?
I mean, probably like 20% maybe. I mean, they have to win out. I mean, there's really nothing about it. And there's three games. I mean, UAB, I mean, that's a sneaky team. Nothing's given in college football. They still have Arkansas and Texas A&M on the road. I mean, still not easy games. Still SEC opponents. And they still, if they win those, you have Georgia. I mean, that's not easy at all. So, I mean, slim chance, but, I mean, everything's in front of them. I mean, they got the right coach to bring them towards that.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a tough time with Georgia and then having Texas A&M and Arkansas on the road. I think Arkansas has to prove a lot to prove after losing to Liberty last week, and the spread kind of shows that LSU maybe is a little overrated now after they beat Bama. Bama played a bad game, a pretty poorly called defensive game with a mobile quarterback. I think we can all agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the offense pretty slow until the fourth quarter, but I think LSU, they beat Georgia, they're in SEC championship, two loss. It's probably going to piss off some people, but they'll be in if it went out.
So can we all agree, though, that LSU controls their own destiny? Like, as in, if they win their next four games, three, and then the SEC championship, they are essentially guaranteed a spot in the playoff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, too. As for Alabama, it just felt like the offense and defense couldn't get going at the same time. They just never kind of meshed. Like, the first half, you saw the defense playing pretty much perfect defense almost, and then it seemed like it was going to be a great start for the offense. Drove all the way down to the four-yard line, threw a pick, and then the offense just couldn't get going in the first half. And then, as per usual for Bryce Young, he got going for, like, the last two or three drives of the game, super clutch touchdowns. But what can you guys say about Alabama's offense and how they need to improve and find a way to be more – how can they be more consistent moving forward?
I think it's just mistakes. I mean, the pick that Bryce threw, underthrown, I think maybe that's one he could have thrown away. He was under pressure, but
– just tried to do too much.
Just tried to do too much, try to be the hero because we were down – were we not down then?
No,
it was 0-0.
Yeah.
You were 0-0, so he's trying to get – draw first blood and – I think that the aggressiveness is usually good with Bryce Young, but when you're on these road games against teams like LSU, Tennessee, it's like you almost need to play like drive by drive.
Yeah, that's not a play that you can make against a top 10 team.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I think that's where Bryce kind of got caught up, trying to do too much, especially because it was like second and goal, too. Like, you don't have to force that pass into that tight of a window on second and goal from the four.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, first half, you could tell Bryce did not really practice at all. I mean, not enough reps in practice, especially with his receivers. With the young core like that, you've got to have a ton of reps with one another. And they just didn't run the ball, man. We'd get – LSU won the position battle early on. They would pin us inside the 10, and we would just throw three straight passes and then just get off the field. Yep.
Field goal, field goal, field goal. I'm pretty sure is how we started the game.
As far as play calling, I mean, it just felt like Jahmyr Gibbs didn't get utilized,
I mean,
like, at all
in
the first half. Like,
6 yards a carry, and we're not giving the ball.
Just not getting touches.
Not giving touches.
And then you see what happens in the fourth quarter when he does get his touches.
Yeah.
He can, like, carry us through a drive. It's crazy, though. A lot of Bama fans. I think that kind of, that game kind of sealed it for me. Like, I was not defending Bill O'Brien, but I felt like he was getting maybe a little bit too much slack, and people weren't giving like putting enough of the responsibility on the players for how Alabama's offense has been. But I think that game kind of sealed me in. Like, I think I'm ready as an Alabama fan to part ways with Bill O'Brien. What do you guys think?
I was ready to part ways with Bill O'Brien halfway through last year.
Yeah.
I don't love the way that he's calling, especially this year. We've had instances, Tennessee, where, I mean, I don't know why we're so aggressive in passing when we should be running the ball.
Yeah, we just fall in love with passing the ball. I feel like he just falls in love with
Bryce Young.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing, too, is, like, personnel-wise, you look at the receivers that we have and then look at the running backs that we have, you would think that we wouldn't throw the ball
Receivers, we don't have that, you know, we don't have that Jameson Williams or Mechie. There's no one that's, like, stood out to me this year besides Gibbs that's been like, oh, yeah, it's Mac to Devontae or Bryce to Jameson. There's no Bryce to whoever this year. It's just kind of just been Bryce's.
I will say, though, that Ja'Cory Brooks is looking better. Like, he's looking up, and I think that he is, like, the clear wide receiver one now.
Yeah.
I think he's looking better, but you don't give him, like, well, how many targets did he get?
19.
Like, 19 targets.
But it's just the other receivers, you know, they're just having a really hard time getting open, and they're not helping Bryce out. Bryce has to be on his own and extend a play for 5 seconds, you know, and roll out of the pocket.
You've seen a lot of improvement from Cam Latu, too. I think he had another
good game.
The
fumble, though, man, is just drive-killing stuff like that.
His fumble ended up not
being
a big deal.
I think another responsibility should also fall in onto the hands of the wide receivers coach also. I mean, you recruit all these guys, they can't really catch the ball. So, I mean, you can coach up these things, separation, all these things. I mean, route running, especially.
Yeah, I agree.
I think some of the play calling is partially to do with it. But, yeah, route running, if they're executed right, there's something going on between the wide receivers and Bill O'Brien's playbook that's just not clicking.
Yeah, it's just not meshing. It's just not. Our scheme doesn't fit our personnel, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was talking about, especially with just how I feel like we're not utilizing our amazing running backs near as much as we should. But anyways, we do have to move on from the game of the century, believe it or not. We got to move on to the Big Ten. We saw some Ohio State struggling against Northwestern. They looked vulnerable. I know that a lot of people are going to talk about the conditions. It was really bad, you know, no doubt about it. But still, Northwestern's QB outgained C.J. Stroud in the air. So did C.J. Stroud kind of play himself out of the Heisman race among the public? Because I know Vegas still has him as number one odds, but it just kind of feels like he's maybe not in the lead anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough game. It really, I mean, conditions were not in either team's favor. I mean, Northwestern was literally just running Wildcat every play.
Living up to their mascot.
Literally. Conditions had so much to do with it. I saw a video, I don't know if it was at halftime or before the game, of their kicker kicking the ball, and it just died on the 10-yard line. They kick it straight from, like, the 40 and just, like, hits a wall. And I think that had a lot to do with it. You can't really utilize a deep ball. Ohio State has a lot of good receivers. They had to really just keep the ball on the ground, run 10, 15-yard plays, and obviously a low-scoring game is going to come out of that. Came on top 21-7, though, which scoring 21 in those conditions is pretty decent, holding Northwestern to one touchdown, pretty decent. Stroud, it's just not a quarterback's game when you're in those conditions.
Yeah, definitely not. But luckily for Stroud, I feel like this is one of the weaker Heisman years, like maybe that I can remember at least. So, you know, there's a lot more breathing room for players that are on top like C.J. Stroud.
I think
so you can have this.
It's just
going to
take
game.
That one game at the end of the season. I mean, Michigan, Ohio State, that's his one game where if he plays good, he'll probably win the Heisman. This is one game.
But as for Blake Corum.
Blake Corum, either way.
Yeah,
whoever
exactly.
If Michigan wins that game, it's most likely Blake Corum's going to probably have 150 yards, probably 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. I mean, that Michigan's bread and butter is running the ball.
Yeah.
That's like all they can do, it feels like, this year for the most part.
And that's
very
how they're going to have to beat Ohio State. Yeah. In a couple weeks.
They both struggled on Saturday. I mean, I know the scoreboard says otherwise for Michigan, but they did not have a good first half at all against Rutgers.
Yeah, so that's our next topic is Michigan. They did struggle in the first half against Rutgers, ended up winning maybe like 52-17, somewhere in that ballpark. As for Michigan, I mean, I feel like it's not crazy to say that they are slowly becoming the favorite to win the Big Ten at all. I think that they can – they really match up well with Ohio State. We see a team like Northwestern kind of matched up great against Ohio State this weekend, a team that just kind of ground and pound, try to control possession, limit Ohio State's possessions. Do you guys feel like Michigan can do a good job of that and maybe beat Ohio State this year?
I think – I've always thought that there was a chance of it. I still think that Ohio State is the favorite since they – beat Penn State on the road and had another tough road game this week with the conditions. I think Ohio State has the better team, but I think Michigan still poses a threat.
Yeah. I mean, another big factor is the weather. I think if the weather is not, like, in good conditions like it was Northwestern, I think that would maybe give Michigan a little bit of advantage.
Yeah, if there's 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts in the horseshoe, I think it's probably worse in Northwestern just because they don't have as much stadium to block out some of the wind tunnel.
Yeah.
I think J.J. McCarthy's going to have to win them that game.
Yeah, Michigan's
going to
have to
That's
throw the
a
ball.
Big scary for Michigan fans, I feel like. They know that they're one-dimensional on offense, and I think that's something that all Michigan fans need. They need to see J.J. McCarthy win them a game, like kind of give them, like, you know, a sigh of relief.
Yeah, just some trust.
But I do think that I agree with what Nick said 100%. I feels like the Heisman race is kind of going to come down to who gets lucky enough to, like, play in a primetime slot, like the last week of the season maybe, and then just goes crazy. And
they need a Bryce Young versus Georgia last year type performance.
I still think Oregon has that in them too.
Yeah, I think Oregon.
They have
Utah, USC.
Yeah, they have probably two big games left on their. And Oregon State's quietly been playing good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have. They even got ranked last week, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So Michigan has Nebraska this week. That should be an easy one. You know, Nebraska's kind of a sneaky team sometimes when they're playing teams that are favored to kill them. So maybe another instance of Michigan being held, like, in a close competition in the first half and pulling away. So a fun fact about Michigan lately is that in their last three games, they have outscored opponents 100-3 in the second half. So definitely a second-half dominant team. Then after Nebraska, Michigan plays Illinois at home and then on the road against Ohio State. So, you know, no really super easy games in their last three. But
I'd say that stat speaks for itself with having a good defense and a good running attack.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the opponent's defense on the field for half the time, half the game. I mean, you can just pound the rock.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Moving on to the Big 12, we have TCU. I mean, the Horned Frogs, how about them? They just keep winning, you know, really kind of playing their way into the playoff spot now, and they could continue to do that. Is this winning sustainable for TCU?
If they keep hurting their opponent's quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, really.
If they, I don't know how their defensive coordinator's got something going on in
they've got some sort of mojo. It's just the Horned Frogs year, man. Like,
it feels so much like Cincinnati last year, where, like, they might go undefeated, they go in the playoffs and just get blown out, but I think they're going to lose to Texas this week. I think that they lose to Texas, still maybe win the Big 12, but going into Texas on the road, Texas looked very good against Kansas State last week. I think that this is their time to drop a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were struggling last week against Texas Tech. I mean, Johnston went out early. I mean, they didn't really have – their offense wasn't really moving. And then Texas Tech's quarterback got hurt, and then it was just smooth sailing for TCU. I really don't think it's sustainable for them to keep winning. I mean, I still think they'll go 11-1, 10-2, but I just don't think they're going to go undefeated this season, especially in the Big 12, which has just been a bloodbath. I mean, everybody's just been beating each other.
Yeah, and we see Texas edge out Kansas State, 34-27. Texas had a big lead early. Kansas State kind of, like, pieced together a little bit of a comeback. So how are we feeling about Texas?
I mean, if TCU doesn't injure Quinn Ewers, I think Texas might be in good spot.
If TCU does not have Dallas Turner on their team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that Texas is a lot better than people give them credit for with their loss. Their losses are pretty good on their resume, with most of them being when Quinn Ewers was hurt.
Their only questionable loss is to Texas Tech.
Yeah, that was a really weird loss. Yeah, I know they still, I want to say Hudson Card was still quarterbacking for that one. But I definitely do think Texas has a good shot at beating TCU. And since we all three agree on that, TCU by 2 touchdowns next week. Moving on to the ACC, and man, I mean, we were kind of hard on the ACC last week with Syracuse and Wake Forest getting dominated in their two respective games. And this week we're going to be more hard on them. So they continue to crumble. We have Notre Dame just absolutely throttles the fourth-ranked Clemson team. And then Syracuse, Pittsburgh beats Syracuse by 10. They just absolutely shut down that Cuse offense. And now it's starting to look like UNC and Drake may actually have a legit chance at winning that conference. How do you guys feel about how UNC matches up with Clemson?
I mean, I think Clemson matches up. I think, I mean, UNC matches up well with them, but their defense, UNC's defense is not very good, but Clemson's offense is not very good.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a shootout.
I think it might be a shootout, yeah.
It's going to be the battle of a good offense, bad defense, bad offense, good defense. And
okay, but here's the thing. Okay, which side of the ball do you think will break? Do you think that UNC's offense will break and just not have a good game, or will Clemson's defense just break down and not have a good game?
I think it'd be Clemson's defense.
Yeah.
I think Drake May has weapons around him. I mean, they've been
too unpredictable at this point. I need to see more from both teams to be able to be like, UNC's offense is going to crumble, Clemson's defense is going to crumble. Well, see, I think it's more likely that a defense crumbles just under that offense. But
yeah, I would think that too, but I also feel like UNC's defense is so bad that, I mean, I really think that UNC has to score 42 to win that game. I'm so serious.
Do you think Clemson never just goes, I mean, since they're pretty much out of it, I mean, I don't think a one-loss ACC team will be getting in the playoff. I mean,
Clemson has like a better chance than Alabama, obviously.
Do we think a quarterback change happens?
No. Dabo's been in the press too much talking about DJ. I think he said some quote along the lines of, you know, you win 14 straight games with a quarterback, and then he has one bad game and you lose. You don't move on from that quarterback. And I do agree with him. Just let DJ play it out at this point. I don't think that Cade is better than him.
I don't think
right
he's
now.
Ready like, yet for that spotlight.
Exactly. I mean, he came in and threw like a pick six.
Yeah, that's
last week. So, it was kind of
a game-sealing pick six.
Pick six. So
Clemson, I don't think Clemson's offense really has the playmakers either on the perimeter. I mean, Will Shipley's very good. I just don't think the receivers are as good, as talented as they've been in the past.
Klubnik came in and threw a pick on the 20, I think that's what it was, in their own territory. DJ did throw a pick six, too, though.
Notre Dame's defense scored.
Notre Dame didn't
points.
Have to play offense in that one to win them the game. So, Clemson, like I said, I think they have a better chance than Alabama, maybe. But definitely aren't a team that, like, controls their own destiny right now, I don't think. I mean, obviously, like, TCU would need to lose and then not win the Big 12.
Yeah. Especially with how
does the committee let a TCU Big 12 champion over Clemson?
Yeah.
Yes.
If they're both 11-1 or 12-1,
it depends on how TCU loses,
too,
I think. Like if TCU loses by, like, a touchdown.
The committee's much more likely to put Clemson in than TCU.
Yeah, but
like
I think that
loss.
Clemson's going to get a lot of – like, it's going to be hard for Clemson because
they got
blown
the
out. Yeah, they got blown out.
And Clemson's wins are starting to look worse and worse by the week.
Exactly.
Syracuse falling
Wake Forest is falling off.
Yep. NC State falling off.
Wake Forest, I don't know what's happened the last 2 weeks. Wake Forest has been bad.
Yeah.
There's no way that team should have lost to NC State this week. But moving on to our – I would say next conference, but this one actually covers a lot. So we have the non-Power 5 teams that are kind of on fire right now. We got Liberty coming off a big win against Arkansas on the road. Arkansas was favored by 13.5. Liberty actually squeaked that one out, 21-19.
Can't tell you.
Yep. Our very own Braden. Shout out, Braden. Nailed it. Underdog. That was his dog of the week.
That should be like automatic 3 wins.
Yeah,
I need those automatic 3 wins.
Yeah, he needs them and pick them. And then we have UCF, who's been hot, picked up a big win against Cincinnati, and then another win last weekend. And then Tulane, who beat Tulsa last week in the battle of, did you see it? It was like battle of color water phenoms between the green wave and the golden hurricane.
Wow.
Last week. Yeah, big win for Tulane and that big rivalry there. And now we're going to rank them. So what do you guys have? Tulane, Liberty, and UCF ranked.
I'm going to go with UCF, Tulane, and then Liberty.
Okay.
I'm going with Tulane, Liberty, UCF.
And Braden has my exact list. Tulane 1, Liberty 2, UCF 3. I think that Tulane has been the most consistent, has the best win out of all three, probably with their win against Kansas State early in the year. Then I have Liberty 2. They've had a good offense this year, and as well as a pretty solid defense as well. And then they get the big win against Arkansas, and I think that kind of propels them over UCF for me personally. UCF has a couple of losses that came early in the year, but they have bounced back. They've been playing really good. They played really good against Cincinnati as well. So, Nick, take us through your thought process here. What makes UCF number one?
UCF number one, I mean, they got an experienced coach who's made it to a national championship. I mean, Gus Malzahn pulls off the miracles week after week. And they got a good quarterback. Michael Keane, he's a good quarterback. They got Power Five talent all over.
Yeah,
I mean they are the 2017
yeah.
national
yeah.
champions.
Former Natty championship.
I like Liberty, but they've struggled. I mean, they might struggle this week to Connecticut coming off
yeah.
their loss.
I could definitely see that. UConn's been kind of sneaky.
I think they're one win away from bowl eligibility.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wild.
Tulane. I really like Tulane, but if I'm picking off this, I mean, I have to have a American team over American team. I think UCF is going to beat Tulane this week.
Yep. Yeah. And as for UConn, you know, it kind of feels like, you know, the Alabama dynasty is falling off, and now it's starting the new one, the UConn Huskies
the
dynasty.
Moore era.
Yeah, exactly. All right, really quickly, we'll go through our player of the week. Braden, start us off.
I got going over to Bluegrass State, I think they call it, Kansas. Devin Neal, 224 yards, a tutty. Field storm, one of the three field storm games. There were three. Three games.
Kept the goalpost safe.
They stole it. They stole Tennessee's tradition, and they threw their goalposts in the some sort of river.
The video of the security talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The video of them.
Yeah.
We lost the goalpost.
It happens.
We kind of thought it was going to happen.
I'm pretty sure they're bowl eligible for like the
first time
since, in like 2008 or something.
That's a big deal for them.
For Mitch Leipold and the Jayhawks.
Yeah.
Kansas is, I mean, you know, they're a pretty good team too. I mean
they're quarterback.
Yeah, they're no pushover of a team.
That was another TCU game that the quarterback got injured.
Yeah, and with the backup quarterback, Kansas kept it to a 7-point game. So yeah, that's a tough one. Nick, what you got?
I mean, I think player of the week, mine's going to be a whole unit of the week. It'll be Georgia's defense, just absolutely obliterating.
I love it.
Hendon Hooker. I mean, they just played an air raid. I mean, they would have just kept everything in front of them. No big plays. They didn't get beat. I mean, special teams are punter with the absolute beauty of a 1-yard punt. I mean, like, it's just insane.
Yeah, that punt
was unreal.
The punt of all punts.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
the best
punt
you can
of all
actually
time.
Have.
Yeah, in football, in the history of the sport.
I think
that was like a 70-yard punt.
Yeah.
On the dot.
On the dot. At like the two. Was it the two or the one?
It was
and then
the one. Yeah.
And then there was that terrible call.
And yeah, it should have been a safety.
I don't know what.
I mean, I think Kirby Smart, especially without their leader Nolan Smith going out, and they still did that. I mean, they surprised probably
that was
like
crazy.
Everybody
yeah, a lot
in the
of
media.
People, very a lot of people. Yeah, Nick. So we're actually just gonna start looking to you for defensive player of the week. That's two straight weeks. Nick is showing love to the defense. Absolutely love to see it. My player of the week is gonna be Tanner Mordecai, in probably the most fun game of college football ever. Quarterback out of SMU, had 379 yards passing, 9 passing touchdowns. I said
that's
that right.
Insane.
9 passing touchdowns to go along with 54 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, as if the 9 passing TDs weren't enough. 10 total touchdowns for Tanner Mordecai. Absolutely insane. SMU wins 77 to, I mean, 53
every,
maybe?
It's every 40 yards he was throwing a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, he was crazy.
It's insane.
That's got to be one of the best games of the year, just as far as just craziness and offense. Carson Toon had a good game for Houston as well, but absolutely wild. Can you guys guess the record for most passing touchdowns in a game in college football history?
Probably like 12 or 13 at least.
It's probably 12. There's no way it's 13. 13 is just, it's way too many.
All right, here it is. David Klingler, QB for Houston in the 90s. He threw 11 in a game. He was actually drafted first round, sixth overall by the Bengals in 92. 12
pushing it, but I was like, there's no way someone's done 13.
How would you?
Unless you're playing a Division II team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even still, just run the ball up the middle.
Yeah.
Boom.
We're going to be like that team that always goes for it.
Yeah. God, no, what was that team?
Presbyterian?
Yes, you're right. Presbyterian's coach does not believe in punting the ball on fourth down. You get four downs for a reason.
He's playing Madden Online in real life.
I love it. I love that mentality. Yeah. All right, moving into our next segment. We got our New Year's Six Bowl predictions. You know, the upsets, big losses from Alabama and Clemson kind of shaked everything up. Shook everything up, I should say. We have the playoffs. The Peach Bowl is the 1v4. The Fiesta is the 2v3. And that's what we're going to start with real quick. My Peach Bowl, the 1v4, I have a rematch of what we saw last weekend. I got Georgia and Tennessee.
That's all. I have the Georgia Bulldogs and the Tennessee Vols, just like you.
Let's see. I think it would be Georgia. I think a rematch of Georgia-Oregon.
Okay. I like that pick, and I actually have Oregon in my Fiesta Bowl here, and the Fiesta Bowl, the 2 versus the 3. Here we go, guys. The Michigan Wolverines is at that number 2 spot. I think that they will be undefeated Big Ten champs going in as the number 2 team in the country. As of right now, I think that they are a better team than Ohio State. Even though they are a little bit one-dimensional on offense, I think their defense is much better than Ohio State's, and I think their run game is much better than Ohio State's. And we haven't seen a team that can halt that running game yet this year. And, you know, there's good reason to believe that maybe nobody can other than maybe like Georgia. So I have the Michigan Wolverines taking on the 3-seeded Oregon Ducks. Yes, I have the Oregon Ducks winning out right now. I think that they are clearly the best team in the Pac-12 right now, and I like them winning out.
Yeah. I think it'd be Ohio State, Tennessee.
I have it as Ohio State and Oregon. So pretty similar. I just have Ohio State beating Michigan.
I just don't think they'll like make it the 1-4. I don't think they would rematch Georgia and Tennessee in the first round.
Well, see, I don't think they'd rematch Georgia-Tennessee in the championship. I don't think they would let – I don't know.
I mean, Alabama-Georgia, they did it last year.
I don't know if they rank a conference champion below the 11-1 Tennessee.
Yeah, that,
I
know, that
I would, too. I would have Georgia 1. Tennessee at 3.
Yeah, but okay, so you have who is your 4 again?
Oregon.
But then that would be like a conference champ being ranked below like a team that didn't even make their conference.
I think Tennessee's wins would just be better.
Yeah, and see, the committee is really high on that. Rightfully so. You know, Tennessee probably still has.
They would have wins over Alabama and LSU, especially LSU on the road.
And
like 30.
They tramped. Yeah, they killed LSU. Yeah, so. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see, though. And I can't believe that, like, if you would have told me after week one that I would have Oregon, like, in my playoff predictions
and
after
Tennessee.
Week 10. Yeah, and Tennessee.
Crazy.
Maybe, especially Oregon after seeing them just get absolutely demolished.
By Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, and Bo Nix better be glad that he's not, I don't have him matching up against Georgia in the first round because I really don't even know how much closer that game would be because.
I think they would be more well prepared this time.
Yeah, I did too. But I still think that. I don't know. I just feel like Georgia right now is just up and away the best team in the country. So, moving on to our other selection committee bowls, we have the Rose Bowl, Big Ten versus Pac-12. I have Ohio State, who I have losing to Michigan, being 11-1 coming into this game, taking on UCLA, who I think Oregon will beat in the Pac-12 championship.
I have USC versus Michigan. So a little similar, but like flip sides. I think USC is going to beat UCLA, and I think Michigan's going to lose.
Yeah, big matchup here. Not this weekend, but the next.
Yeah.
Between USC and UCLA.
USC-UCLA, another big rivalry game. And then Michigan-Ohio State, that's going to decide playoffs and Rose Bowl, obviously. Unless Oregon loses.
Chaos happens.
Yeah, chaos. Chaos could happen in the Pac-12.
Yeah, that week in the Pac-12 is crazy. Not this weekend, but the next. Like I said, Oregon plays Utah and UCLA, USC. It's like kind of the Pac-12 having their own like Final Four. It feels like it's pretty cool.
I mean, I got UCLA and Michigan for that one.
Okay. So kind of like scrambling around our Fiesta Bowl and Rose Bowls. Moving on to the Cotton Bowl, though, this is just two at-large teams. You kind of think that it's going to be like maybe the runner-up for the Big 12 against one of the teams that we mentioned earlier, the non-Power 5 teams, Tulane, Liberty, UCF, and maybe even like Cincinnati are all kind of battling for that spot. I have it being TCU losing to Texas again in the Big 12 championship, taking on Tulane.
I have I think it'll be Texas versus UCF.
I have it as UCLA or Penn State versus Tulane.
Nice. Penn State squeaking in there.
We've been talking about Penn State squeaking in. That's why I threw them in there. A two-loss team. Depending on if Ohio State wins, it looks better on their resume. If Ohio State beats Michigan, they might find their way in.
Yeah. Which, granted, Michigan handled Penn State pretty easily. But as for Penn State, I mean, they could definitely just finish 10-2. I mean, that is definitely a New Year's Six Bowl resume,
exactly. I feel like. With your two losses being to arguably two of the best teams.
Yeah, two
football.
Top four teams probably in the country. So the Cotton Bowl is going to be a good shakeup. It's going to be fun to see who plays each other in that match. No matter what the game is going to be, it's going to be a fun one probably. Next, we have the Sugar Bowl, another one that's going to be fun. You have the SEC versus the Big 12 in this one. I like LSU taking on Texas. I think that Texas wins the Big 12. And, I think that they beat TCU this weekend and then win the Big 12 championship. And then you have an LSU team that I have losing to Georgia in the SEC championship. So coming into this game with a record of 10-3.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I got LSU, but I think that TCU, they dropped the game in DKR this weekend. I don't love saying that someone's going to beat someone twice. So you beat someone once
that
easily.
Is tough, yeah.
Beating someone twice, I think TCU still wins the Big 12 and finds her way in the Sugar Bowl.
I have to agree with you also, Braden. I think it'll be LSU, TCU. I think TCU's going to bounce back in that second game, especially it's going to be in Jerry's world for that game, for the Big 12 championship.
Yeah. And then we got, lastly, the Orange Bowl, ACC versus either the SEC or Big 10 in this one. I like the two kind of disappointing their programs or their fans' teams of the year, Clemson taking on Bama. You know, going to be really, really weird seeing these teams match up in a game that doesn't have any championship implications.
Everybody wants Clemson versus Alabama because the rivalry from the national championships, but I'm going to say UNC versus Alabama, which still kind of has that rivalry because Drake May was first committed to Alabama. So, I mean, that's
a
big game.
That's
That'd be a big game for Drake May.
Yeah, there's very 50-50 chances that both UNC and Clemson could make. I think it's going to be ACC champion versus Alabama. I'd prefer to see UNC, though, because UNC versus Alabama, just like those two colors on the field, would be the most visually perfect thing in the world, especially at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yep, I agree. I don't know. I mean, this is the Clemson and Bama game. I feel like it could still be Ole Miss that makes it in there. If Ole Miss beats Alabama. Alabama fans can't get too comfortable being in that.
Road games have been kind of a problem for us.
No game is guaranteed on the road. I mean, no game for Alabama this season. It'll be great to see how that plays out. It's kind of cool that game could literally be like UNC and Penn State. I mean, really.
It could be.
But it could also be, like we said, pretty stock, like Clemson and Alabama or something like that.
I could see even UCLA squeaking their way in the Orange Bowl if they don't get in something else, if they're a one-loss team.
Yeah. Yep. The committee six, like the New Year's Six Bowls this year, are all going to be really fun to watch, playoffs and the other selection committee bowls. Even like some of the bigger non-selection committee bowls, like the Citrus and the Outback, those are going to be fun bowls.
I think this is the most even top 10 out of any year that there's been. I think that any of these teams could beat each other.
Yeah, this is kind of the year that I feel like the 12-team format would really, it's really showing how, like, that the 12-team format is probably the best way to go.
I think NIL deals are helping out with proving that.
I agree.
Helping because people don't feel like they need to go to Alabama or Georgia or Clemson to, like, make a name for themselves now.
100% agree with Braden there. Speaking of all of this college football playoff talk, we're going to get into the rankings of this week, this Tuesday's rankings. You know, I talked a little bit about how last week they don't really matter because there was a lot of big games, so the rankings are just kind of there for bragging rights at that point. These are starting to matter a little bit more because you're starting to get a sense of the committee and see who they're respecting, who they're not respecting. I think that the committee respects Tennessee a lot. I think that they respect the wins that Tennessee has and their resume. Obviously, I feel like that's rightfully so. Tennessee only dropped down to 5, still ahead of teams like Oregon and USC. And we had the top 10 of Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, Tennessee 5, Oregon 6, LSU 7, USC 8, Bama 9, and Clemson rounding it off at 10. So obviously, you know, committee has shown some favoritism to Clemson in the past, as well as Alabama. They're keeping them both at 9 and 10, still in the top 10. What do you guys make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy how Alabama is still in the top 10. I mean, I guess it dropping two close road games, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Really,
yeah,
I mean,
it's not totally.
I think it's really just top heavy. I don't think it's bad. I mean, the teams behind them, I mean, 8-1, 8-1, 7-2. So, I mean, it's really just like there's really not many more teams they could put above them.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with how we lost those games.
That's what I was about to say. It took two games of the craziest games that we've seen in college football.
Like,
you know,
the
recently.
Length of a yard that were the difference. But like, the Tennessee field goal. Made it through the uprights by at most 3 feet. And LSU gets that two-point conversion by at most 3 feet. Like, the difference between that is why Alabama isn't undefeated right now. I think the committee sees that, and they have enough respect for Alabama to keep them.
And a lot of people think that maybe Ole Miss and UCLA deserve those 9 and 10 spots. I think that the committee kind of is on the same page as most other people about Ole Miss. You know, they haven't really their one game that has felt like a test, really. They got blown out by LSU. So, you know, Alabama and Ole Miss do have that common opponent.
They're really respecting Oregon a lot, which is they've earned it so far, and they have everything in front of them because teams, I mean, they still have two top 15 teams they have to play. I mean, this is the Pac-12 championship, but TCU goes down. I mean, Michigan goes down. I mean, that's like they have the playoffs like are wide open for them.
Yeah.
I think they're the only Pac-12 team I could see getting in. I don't think USC could get in.
I think either three of those teams, if they win out, are going to go in, I think.
Maybe UCLA. Really? I mean, UCLA and USC. I feel like UCLA is a dark horse out of the least ranked team to get in.
Probably, yeah.
They're 12th and they still have two games. I mean, Oregon, if they beat Oregon and USC, I mean, that committee, I mean, the committee could, I mean, they should put them
in. Yeah, and UCLA would be in a position where if they played Oregon, I would have USC or UCLA winning because I'm very, like, I don't think anyone's going to beat anyone twice with how even some of these teams are.
Yeah, I agree. It almost makes you think, like, tennis, like Alabama and Tennessee playing on a neutral field. Like, you know,
any of these teams playing on a neutral field would probably be.
Yeah.
Could go either way, even odds.
100% agree with that. Another cool thing to note, talking about Alabama and Clemson, is this is the first time that Bama nor Clemson have been ranked in the top 6 in the college football playoff rankings. Absolutely crazy how dominant those programs have been. And it's even crazier that, you know, it's considered a down year for them. Like, Bama's 7-2, Clemson's 8-1. Those programs have just been the standard for what college football programs should be. But how do you guys feel about Georgia now? Is this Georgia success sustainable? And I'm talking about in the big picture. Like, is Georgia going to be this good for the next 10 years?
I think so. I mean, they got Atlanta near them. They have the recruiting pipelines. They have, I mean, they're 4 and 5 stars building it just like how Alabama's building it. I mean, there's no question about that. If Kirby can sustain it, I think that he can.
I think that he can, too. I think that Georgia's only problem would be if they run into controversy.
Yep.
Yeah, 100% agreed there. Especially like Nick said, they have the recruiting area, and I think that Kirby Smart has built that kind of winning culture. So, like, this is what they expect now. They expect to be the favorite in every single game they play, no matter who it is. And I think that's what kind of makes a dynasty. And I think that Georgia has just that. I think that Georgia will be the next standard, kind of right there with Clemson and
Alabama. I don't think anybody is really pushing them for the East. I mean, this year, Tennessee has been pushing them, but not in the past. Nobody's really been pushing them for the East.
It's not crazy to say that, Florida. Like, next year, Tennessee, I think, will be much worse than they are this year. Tennessee's probably going to fall off next year, losing their 30-year-old Hendon Hooker quarterback. So
same with Georgia's losing their 30-year-old quarterback,
too. That's true, too, but...
They've got
talent now.
Yeah. Especially on the defensive end.
And they're going to have transfers.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to our Week 11 preview here. We're going to start off with the dog of the week. I don't know if I've got one of these right. Braden hit big last week with a big Liberty pick.
I'll be sleeping. I hit
mine
last week.
And Nick also hit big with Touchdown Jesus last week. And not only did he hit big, he hit big. Notre Dame absolutely stomped Clemson. So two of the three of us winning outright last week. That's crazy. This week, keeping it simple, another kind of under-the-radar game. We talked about Lance Leipold and his Kansas team. I think that they are being disrespected this week. They are a 3.5-point underdog against Texas Tech on the road this week. I think that Kansas pulls out a big win. I think they're kind of finding it after having that little losing stretch. I like Kansas over Texas Tech as my dog of the week.
I'm going back. I mean, the big game in the American – and I'm going with the team that I ranked as my best group of five team. We're going with the 2017 national champions, the UCF Knights. No explanation needed. They're winning. They're going down to New Orleans, taking over Bourbon Street, and they're winning that game.
There's no, like, this week is one of the only weeks where there's been a game where a top opponent has found themselves walking into a road stadium other than LSU-Arkansas. I feel like LSU-Arkansas, after beating Bama at 11 o'clock, is a trap game, but I don't want to be the hater that just lost to Bama. So I'm going to go with the military, and after Notre Dame's big win, they're going to drop to Navy.
Wow, that is hot. Hey. That is a hot take.
Liberty last week.
Veterans Day.
Yeah, Veterans Day. Hotter and hotter takes every week. That's what we look for.
Yeah, like next, after this week, just I go crazy. Like, say, like, Austin Peay over Bama or something. Let's get really crazy. If Navy wins this week,
we'd probably be famous if we did that.
Yeah. That is wild. But moving on from our dog of the week, we're going to hop into Pick'em real quick to round out the show. We got Nick sitting back on top, real lonely at the top for Nick, 17 and 11. We have myself, Caden, 16 and 12 right now. And then we have Braden, who's my record flipped at 12 and 16. Me and Braden suffered last week a little bit with some 2-5 records. Nick was just one up from at 3-4. Obviously a tough week for picks last week with how crazy everything was. But we're going to hop right into these. We're going to start off in the morning in Arkansas. We have LSU playing at Arkansas. This LSU's favored by 3 in this one. I like the Tigers. I think that it's going to be a really close game. Arkansas may even be leading, you know, going into half or even the fourth quarter. I could see it. But I think that LSU squeaks out one on the road, gets the win.
I mean, 11 a.m., that's probably the worst time that they could have scheduled this game for LSU. If I was an LSU fan, I'd be absolutely worried.
Yeah, we saw what happened. Last time LSU played at 11, they got stomped.
We're going to be calling the Hogs this week. We're going to Fayetteville. I mean, Arkansas is going to win this game. It's an absolute trap game. And, I mean, Sam Pittman, I mean, they're just going to pound the rock. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, though. I think it's going to be like 45, 42, something like that. Something's crazy going to happen in that game.
I'm going to go right with you there. I think the 11 a.m. game makes this the ultimate trap game. This is a game, as an LSU fan, where that gives you the same feeling that Bama against Texas A&M did last year, where maybe you feel confident, but, the odds have Arkansas plus 3. Their Vegas knows something.
Vegas knows. It's
Vegas
just,
knows.
It kind of gives me the vibes of Notre Dame and Clemson last week.
Yeah,
why is Clemson only favored by 4?
I didn't want to pick Arkansas as my dog of the week just to be, because that'd be kind of boring. Got to go with Navy.
Yeah.
You know, America all the way. I'm going for some roast pig this weekend.
That's
nice.
Right.
Woo pig suey.
I'm never saying woo pig. Nope.
All right, moving on into the afternoon slate. We're sticking in the SEC here. We got Bama trying to bounce back with a win or with a game against Ole Miss in Oxford. Bama's favored by 12 in this one. Ole Miss is going to ground and pound. I think that Alabama will squeak it out. I think that Ole Miss is going to try their best to give Bryce Young as little amount of possessions as possible, and they're going to do that with their big running game between Quinshon Judkins and Zach Evans. I do think that Ole Miss keeps it close in this one. I do think they cover the spread, but I will take Alabama in this one maybe about by 10 or so.
Yeah, there's no reason why Alabama should be favored double digits on the road. There's just no reason why. I mean, I don't want to pick against my own team, but it's just like, I think we win. I mean, Ole Miss's defense is not very good. I think the receivers start getting some more looks. I mean, I think they'll start getting open maybe. I think we'll draw. I think Bryce has a bounce back week. Better first half. I mean, we're going to come out. We got to score early, score often. I think it'll be a high scoring game though. I mean, Lane Kiffin, I mean, we got to get off the field on a third down, fourth down, especially if they're going to be going for it a lot.
Yeah, I think that we're going to have a pretty good chance. There's no reason. I haven't seen a major problem in our run defense this year. It's been more in the secondary and the coverage. I think run defense will be fine as long as they keep the ball on the ground. But like we said, it seems like when quarterbacks play Bama, they decide to all be, you know, 2012 Andrew Luck and modern day Patrick Mahomes and doing crazy stuff. So
I could see that out of Jackson Dart too.
Yeah, Jackson Dart just decides to be Joe Montana for a day.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, some Zach Calzada vibes from last year.
Yeah, that could happen, but Bama's not losing three games
this close together. Yeah,
no, I mean,
it's just crazy to think about. Moving on to our next 2:30 game, we have Louisville at Clemson. Now, I've even seen a Bleacher Report prediction that has Louisville winning this game, and I could totally see it too. But that being said, I'm going to stick with the Tigers on this one. They're favored by 7. It's going to be a close, gritty game, probably pretty low scoring, but I think that the Tigers pull this one out late.
Yeah, I think the Tigers will probably be in a little bit more control than you think. I think coming off of a loss like that, back to their home stadium, knowing that they need to win out for any shot at the playoffs and have chaos happen, I think that they need to win this game. I think that they are going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really say Clemson controls their destiny, but at least this game's on at 11 a.m. for them. I think if it was, I would be picking Louisville, but Clemson, I'm going to take the Tigers here. I think Will Shipley will have a big game. I mean, maybe DJ, I think DJ needs to start. I mean, I think bounce back performance maybe. I mean, he hasn't really had big numbers, but I think they just need to win somehow, with some way.
Yep. All right, moving into our big non-Power 5 game of the week. We have 2:30 UCF at Tulane. Big game for New Year's Six Bowl implications. Tulane's favored by 2 in this one. Another low-scoring game, I think, in this one. Two pretty solid defenses. I do like Tulane in this one, though. I think Michael Pratt and company kind of squeak this one out as well. Get a big win at home. They're going to have a great crowd for this one. They're going to be fired up. And I think Tulane wants that New Year's Six Bowl, and I think they'll get it.
Yeah, I think the committee sees something in Tulane that is making them be the favorite in the rankings. And same with last week. Everyone was like, LSU at 10, that's way too high. But LSU proved that that was the right spot for them. So I think the committee knows something and has respect for Tulane. I think Tulane's going to pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, 2000. I mean, my dog of the week can't go against them. UCF is going to go in there and win.
The dog of the week for Nick. So me and Nick getting some differing picks here in our first four games. That's good. That's good. I need to try to get a comeback, build some separation. Braden needs it too.
Yeah, something's got to happen.
Something's got to give.
Moving on to some Pac-12 action. Kicking off our evening slate, we got a 6 o'clock kick between Washington and Oregon in Autzen Stadium. Oregon's favored by about 13.5 in this one. This is a trap game. It's got trap game written all over it. It could be a really high-scoring game. Michael Penix and Bo Nix just kind of out there just throwing for 500 yards apiece in this one. Could be that type of game. I do think I'm going to take Oregon. I think Washington covers, though.
I think this Oregon team at home against a rival is likely to keep it on the spread line. I don't know if they'll cover it, but I think they win by 10, maybe 14.
Yeah, I think Oregon's going to win this game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it might come down to whoever has the ball last. I mean, Michael Penix, had some really good performances. He's also had some really bad performances. It's just whatever Michael Penix whichever Michael Penix shows up, is it the good one or is it the bad one? I mean, if it's the good one, I think it's going to be like a 7- to 10-point game.
Completely agree there.
Yeah.
Next game in our evening slate, we have a 6:30 kick between two high-powered offenses, UNC and Wake Forest. This one's at Wake Forest. Wake Forest is favored by 3.5 in this one, but I am going to take the underdog of UNC. I think Wake Forest has looked just pitiful the last 2 weeks. Got killed by Louisville, lost to a really hurt NC State team, and I think UNC's kind of been on the rise. Obviously, they have that rough defense, so this is another game where I could see the two quarterbacks, Drake May and Sam Hartman, throwing for 500 yards apiece. But I do think that UNC holds on and gets the win here.
This weekend is all about the offensive matchups. It's going to be a ton of high-scoring event. This game is definitely a must-watch if you like offense. I think this is going to be another – I mean, this game might reach the 50s or 60s at least. I mean, with how much they score. I mean, both defenses aren't very good either. I mean, especially Wake Forest and UNC's defense are not very good. I think Drake May, though, I think the better quarterback, it's shown this year. And Josh Downs, I mean, better playmakers around him. I think UNC and Mac Brown, better coach. I think UNC is going to win that game.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think UNC has a better offense. Drake May should be on Wake Forest. Isn't a super tough environment to play in. It's not an easy one, but it won't be too phasing. I think UNC is going to come out on top.
Okay, guys, UNC and Wake Forest over-under is set to 77.5. Are we feeling that as like an over-lock?
Yeah. I'm hammering that.
Yeah, yeah. Put the mortgage on UNC and Wake Forest over.
Putting tuition on
the over. Yeah, putting the tuition on it. Yeah, I actually really do think that's going to go over. I think they're undershooting that a little bit. I could definitely see that going over.
Unless UNC blows them out.
Yeah. But I just don't see that happening, though. Chaos, I think their defense is so bad.
Chaos could happen with how much chaos is happening in the ACC.
Yeah, really. All right, moving into our last game of the day. College game day will be there. 6:30 kick between TCU and Texas. We got a highly anticipated Big 12 matchup here. TCU undefeated, but a lot of people think that them going to DKR will be their real time to slip up finally. You know, they've kind of had it coming for a while. I am one of those people that think they will slip up. Texas is favored by 7, and they're favored for a reason. I like the Longhorns. Hook them in this one.
Yeah, I think this is a TCU's time that we've all been anticipating to come. I think going into DKR, that atmosphere, a pretty much fully healthy Texas team, I think Texas needs to win this game probably to make it to the Big 12 championship. I'm going with the Longhorns.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bevo is going to be happy about this game. I think Quinn Ewers is probably going to have his best game as a Texas Longhorn to prove why he was the number one quarterback in that class. And hook 'em horns, baby. Horns down will not be happening today.
All right, and that'll actually wrap up our picks for the week. Big week for picks here for me and Nick as we continue to battle out at the top. Braden is going to try to have a Cinderella story, make a big comeback. With that being
said, might be the underdog champion if Navy wins, though.
Hey, that is true. Braden might not be the pick'em champion, but he is definitely the underdog champion. So you can almost guarantee a midshipman win over the Fighting Irish this week. With that being said, we're going to wrap up today's episode. I'm Caden Johnson.
I'm Braden Friedman.
And I'm Nicholas Elliott.
And this is the 4th and Goal Podcast signing off.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.